Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kiddushin Daf Pei Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 12 lines from the top of Daf Pei Aleph. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side where we see one of our special Gemara markings Shas Ozer features, the topic heading, which reads Malkus Derabbanan al Yichud, a rabbinically applied punishment of flagellation or lashings for a person that is in violation of Yichud. Yichud being the isolation of a man with a woman that he is prohibited from being with. Basically, all women other than his wife, with a couple of exceptions that we mentioned in our previous shiur. But by rule of thumb, a man is not to be alone with other women other than his wife. Omar Rav, Malkin al Yichud. A person is subjected to lashings, and again, we mentioned this is a rabbinic punishment for someone who is in violation of Yichud. V'ein oisrin al ha-Yichud. If a married woman is in isolation, goes on her own volition into isolation, into privacy with another man, and here we're not referring to the Parsha of Sota, let us just say without a formal warning from her husband. She on her own went into private with another man, and we have no idea of what actually took place in privacy. She is not prohibited to return to her husband. That's ein oisrin. We don't prohibit her. We don't forbid her to go back to her husband. Of course, if a married woman had conducted an act of willing intimacy with another man, that would prohibit her from being with her husband. But right now we're only talking about a situation where she went into Yichud, into private, with another man. Omar Ravashi, lo amoron, elo b'yichud pnuya. The idea of administering flagellation for a violator of Yichud is only when you're dealing with a situation of privacy with a single woman. Avo b'yichudeshes ish, if the Yichud, the privacy, was a man and a woman, and the woman was a married woman, then loy, there will be no malchus, no lashings. Shaloi tehe moitzi laaz al boneha, so that there will be no ill murmurings concerning the validity of her sons. What did we just say? So, if we would administer lashings in the case of a married woman having been in private with another man, people will figure thusly. Nowadays, there's no court execution. Why are they administering lashings? Because they saw her in actual intimacy with another man. And if she will bear children subsequently, people will think that these children are mamzerim, that they're illegitimate, they're a married woman's children with another man. So as to prevent, public misunderstanding, we lay back. We say, if it's a married woman that was involved in the Yichud, we're not going to administer lashing so as not to mislead people into thinking, as we explained before, that she had been participant in actual intimacy. Marzutra Malki Umachris. Marzutra took a different approach. If there was Yichud with an Ashes Ish, then the parties would yes be subject to lashings. However, an announcement would be made that these are lashings that are administered because prohibited privacy was violated. However, this does not this is not evidence of any actual intimacy of having taken place. Amar le Rav Nachman mi Farhatya le Rav Ashi. Farhatya is the name of the place from which this Rav Nachman comes. So Rav Nachman from Farhatya said to Rav Ashi, Mor nami luki velachris. Just a few lines up, we had underlined Rav Ashi, and he said, I'm not going to administer lashings if the violation involved privacy with a married woman. So Rav Nachman says to Rav Ashi, why don't you do the same thing as Mar Zutra? Why don't you administer lashings and make the announcement that this is not indicative of actual intimacy? Amale, Rav Ashi answers, Iko de Shama Baha, Velo Shama Baha, I'm fearful that there will be people that will have heard about the lashings and not heard the announcement. And that will once again result in the erroneous conclusion that the public could reach. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, Loiken al Loi Toiv HaShmua. Lashings administered because of a problematic, a bad reputation. And when we speak about reputation, we're referring specifically to the realm of sub-moral practices. A person who has a reputation, and we're not talking about actual evidence, but it's the way the people perceive so-and-so. That's called, we'll call that a bad reputation. So we turn to the Gemara, Omar Rav, Malkin al Lo Tov HaShmua. We administer lashings for someone who is the subject of bad reports. Shenemar, now, we have a pasuk. It says, al b'ni. The al is a word of negation. Hence, you have a basis for a negative command. And when something is taught in the Torah in a negative command fashion, that's reason for administering lashings. We're not talking here right on a purely Doraisa Torah level. We're dealing on a rabbinic level, and the pasuk that's cited is a pasuk from the prophets, from the book of Samuel, Shmuel Aleph. But since it has the format of a negative command, it's reason enough for the rabbis to impose rabbinic lashings. So Rav says his din based on the pasuk al bani ki lo tov hashmua. The Lo Tov HaShmua, your reputation is not good. The word on the street about you is not good. Mar Zutra Moisiv Lo Afsira Al Kasve Umakri Le Al Bani. Mar Zutra, when he would encounter someone concerning whom there were ill murmurings, bad reputation, he would lay a rope across his shoulders, a symbolic gesture of lashing, and announce Al Bani, the pasuk we just referred to, two lines above. Omar Rabba, Ba'alo Be'ir, Ein Choshishin Mishum Yichud. Continuing with the topic of a married woman, if her husband is in town, then another man can be in private with her. Omar Rav Yosef, Pesach Posuach Lushus HaRabim, Ein Choshishin Mishum Yichud. If a married woman is with another man in a location, in a room, which has a door that opens to a public thoroughfare, then again, we do not consider this a violation of Yichud. In both cases, the theme is that there is a built-in deterrent to any foul play, any actual forbidden intimacy in taking place. Whether it's the husband that's in town that could show up at any moment, or it's a room that has a door that opens to a public thoroughfare, someone from the street can walk right in. So there's no fear of an actual act of forbidden intimacy in taking place. Rav Bevai Iklo Lebei Rav Yosef. Rav Bevai went to the home of Rav Yosef. Boser de Korach Rifta, after they ate a meal together, literally after they broke bread, after they finished their meal. And let us add, they ate a meal together, that's Rav Yosef and his wife and Rav Bevi the visitor. They ate in a second story, and we'll call it in an attic. It's called an aliyah, and access to the aliyah is through a ladder, so that from entrance level you would climb a ladder to get to the aliyah where they had their repast. And when they finished the meal, so Omar Lahu, Rav Yosef instructed members of his household, Shkolu Dargo Mitusi Bevai. Rav Bevai apparently was going to be hosted, housed in that aliyah. Rav Yosef went down to the entrance level where he and his wife lived, and Rav Yosef instructed, remove the ladder from under Bevai. What's the point? So we take a look at Rashi, a few lines up in the Rashi. Shkolu dago, she'ochlu baliyah, v'yordu Rav Yosef ishto, v'hu nishar baliyah. After the meal, Rav Yosef and his wife descended to their dwelling level. And Rav Yosef said, Shkolu daga mitusi bevai, shelo yered v'yisyached, so that he should not descend if the ladder were left in place and possibly be alone with my wife. The Gemara asks, what's the problem? Even if Rav Bevai was able to descend and be in the house with Rav Yosef's wife, v'homa rabba, but just a few lines before, we have arrows indicating where we saw this before. Rabba said, Ba'lo b'irein chushishin mishum yichud. If the husband is in town, so we do not suspect any foul play from taking place. Shiny Rav Bevai, the Gemara answers that the case of Rav Bevai is different. Deshush binte havoi. He was very friendly. He was a very close friend of Rav Yosef's wife. They were on very friendly, deep friendship had existed between them. V'gaisa bei, and as a result, she had a very close feeling of affinity toward Rav Bevai, and you can't take your chances under circumstances like that. So that in a case of shushbinte, and you have a gaisa bei factor, bai lo bo'ir is not a sufficient deterrent. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, which reads as follows: Noshim becheder pnimi, gvorim becheder chitzon, o ipcha. Women in an inner chamber, men in an outer chamber, or the other way around. Ma dinam legabi chashash yichud. What is the ruling regarding a suspicion of yichud? The Gemara. Omar Rav Kahana. We have a numbering system here, which involves a Roman numeral number 1, and a few lines later you can see a Roman numeral number 2, where in number 2, whatever is taught in 1 is taught in an opposite form. But it's not, the Gemara doesn't elaborate, so in your mind, whatever we see in Roman numeral number 1, realize that the second version switches it around. So there are two scenarios which are numbered with circled 1 and 2. Omar Rav Kahana, Anoshim Mibachutz V'Noshim Mibifnim Ein Choshishin Mishum Yichud. Let us take a look at the Rashi alongside this Gemara. Rashi, a few lines up, we have some markings in the Rashi. Diamonds highlight the men folk, and triangles highlight the women in this scheme. So Anoshim Bachutz, Rashi says, Bevayis Achitzon, in an outer chamber, V'Noshim Bifnimi, and women in the inner chamber, Ein Chishishin Mishum Yichud. Why? Shachitzonim, the men who are in the outer chamber, there's no fear of a man going to the inner chamber. Ein Lohem Derech Lifnim, there's no, they don't have any easement rights. They have no reason to enter the inner chamber. If the man has to go somewhere, he has to go out into the street, which does not involve going into the inner chamber where the women are. V'yech yis yachid ho ish echad im hanashim. since there's no reason for the man to go in, so there's no problem, and the man won't be alone with the women. Aval hapnimim yesh lahem derech lachutz. The people in the inner chamber have easement rights through the outer chamber. Hilkoch anoshim bifnim. If men are in the inner chamber, v'noshim bachutz, and women are in the outer chamber, choshishin shemo yetze echod mehem. We're fearful that one of the men from the inner chamber will pass through the room where the women are, the outer chamber, v'yisyachin im anoshim, and he'll be alone with the women. The Gemara continues. We mentioned case one already of Anoshim Mibachutz V'Noshim Bifnim. There's no problem. However, Anoshim Mibifnim, case two, V'Noshim Mibachutz Choshishin Mishim Yichud, because of the easement rights that a man has being in the inner chamber through the outer chamber where the women folk are, we don't want a man to be alone with the women. V'Masnisa Tono Ibcha. In a Tanaic source, the opposite is taught. And Rashi spells it out for you, so let's go to the Rashi together. Ibcho, anoshim, if the men folk are bachutz, outside, v'noshim, bifnim, that presents a problem. Why? Choshishin shemo yikones ha'echad, lifnim. We're afraid that one of the men might just happen to go inside to the inner chamber, v'lo yargishu bo chaverov. And his comrades, his friends, will not notice. They won't feel his absence. Anoshim, and there you'll have the man alone with women in the inner chamber, not fearful that other men are going to find him practicing some type of immoral behavior. Anoshim bifnim, v'noshim bachutz, the other way around, if men are in the inner chamber and women in the outer chamber, ein choshishin, we're not afraid, shemo tikones hi lifnim, that a woman might go into the inner chamber where there are men. V'im tikones hi lifnim lo echpas lan, and even if a woman does go inside, that doesn't bother us. De'isha misyachedesim shnei anoshim. We've seen earlier, we saw in our Mishnah, that one woman is permitted to be with two men. V'im echad mehem yotzei lebein hanoshim, if one of the men from the inner chamber go to the outer chamber, we said we're not worried. Ein ze yichud, we're not afraid. Why? Where's the man coming from the inner chamber where there are other men? Demistifi, he will be afraid. Shemo yetze echod mehem achrov, maybe one of his friends will follow him to that outer chamber and find him and catch him doing something wrong. Sharei derech abdim al hachitzon, as we mentioned before, there are easement rights from the inner chamber to the outer chamber. So that if the men are in the inner chamber, and one of them will find himself in the outer chamber amongst the women, he will hesitate doing anything immoral. He will be too embarrassed being caught by another man who has easement rights as well through that outer chamber. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Abaye, Hashto di Omar Rav Kahana Hochi. Rav Kahana presented the prohibited scenario where the men are in the inner chamber. The Tana Masnisa Ibcha, and the Tana taught the forbidden scenario where the men are in the outer chamber. So both the scenarios, when you look at the Rav Kahana version and the Masnisa version together, you've got both scenarios being prohibited. Ano Navid L'chumra. So Abaye says, I will practice with stringency. So it would seem from here that he would simply prohibit any situation where men are in any on either of the chambers and women being in the other one. The Gemara continues with a topic that many might find interesting, in the sense that weddings. Rashi talks here about a drosha or a chuppah, a public lecture, or a chuppah is a marriage canopy, a marriage ceremony. We would refer to that as a wedding when many people come together, women and men. The approach taken by Abai and Ravi here is that it's necessary to separate them, not to have men and women intermingling. Rashi, the Gemara says, Abaye dyer means he would set up gufi. Rashi across from here says, gufi mokum futsis anoshim v'noshim, a place where men and women gather together, o l'drosh l'chuppah, whether it be to hear a lecture or a marriage, hoy mesader kankanim shilcheres harbe b'nehem, he would set up a row of earthenware of clay jugs or barrels between the men and the women. Shim yavo ze etzel ze, for if one will try to cross over to the other, yekashkishku v'yishmakol, there'll be a type of rustling noise, the scratching noise of moving the barrels, moving the jugs that serve as a separation, v'yishmakol, and it'll make noise and it'll arouse people's awareness, and hence that will prevent any foul play from taking place. And now, Rava Dayer Kona. Rava set up, instead of clay jugs, he set up reeds. And one would walk over the reeds, it would make noise. And again, if someone had any immoral schemes up his sleeve, this would deter him, because in order to go from one side to the other, it will simply draw people's attention because of the noise. So I think that this Gemara serves as a fairly open source, besides the Gemara in Sukkah, which also deals with the topic of separation of the genders there, in public assemblies there. The Gemara in Sukkah was dealing with the topic of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva in the Beis HaMikdash. And here we add the public assemblies of both genders. Separation is necessary. And by the way, you see separation beyond the realm of public prayer, which is probably the most common situation where we strive to separate the genders. Omar Ovin, Sakva Deshosa, the low point of the year is Rigla. It's a little ironic, but it means the holiday. The holiday is the low point of the year. Why is that? Well, first we look at Rashi, a little bit lower down. Sakva Deshosa Rigla, Riua Shel Yemois Hashana, L'yichuru L'avera. The weak point, the shaky point of all the year for violations of privacy. Avera is a nice word for forbidden intimacy. Yemois HaRegel. It's during the holidays. Sheyesh Kvutzas Anoshim V'Noshim L'Shmoa Drosha. Groups of men and women come together to hear a lecture, and I'll go out on a limb and say it's probably a Torah lecture. V'noisnim, v'noisim zeimze, and there's conversation, socializing one with the other, and as we just pointed out, as a result of the socializing, the camaraderie, It leads to yichud, and worse than that, it leads to avera. Tosfos here says sakva deshosa rigla pirush riua she yemois hashana liyichud avera yemois haregel sheyesh kvutzos anoshim v'noshim l'shmoa drosha v'noisnim ayin ze al ze. Here the Tosfos is a little more outspoken, and he says that they gaze one on the other. men and women. There's a lot of looking, gawking at one another. V'yeshomrim lekach nagu l'sanus lachar pesach sukkos. And so he cites this problem as maybe the basis of the practice that some practice to this day, and that is a period of fasting. We call it Bahab. Bahab is Beis, Hey Beis. Monday is the second day of the week. That's Beis, number two. Hey is five. That's the fifth day. That's Thursday. And the following Monday. Monday, Thursday, that follow Pesach and Sukkot, the two major holidays when there are these public assemblies. And the fasting is as a means of atonement for these problems. We continue in the Gemara. Hanoch Shuyaso da Soylen Ardo was an incident where captive women were brought to Nahardo, and these captive women were housed in Rav Amram Chasido's place. Askinu lebei Rav Amram Chasido. They Rashi points out, Askinu shetziv aleim levdoisam v'nosnu baliyaso. He commanded his community to redeem these captive women, and they were then housed in his aliyah. We mentioned aliyah before, the upper story, the second story, the attic of his house. Take note of the personality or the gentleman here in our story, Rav Amram Chasida. Chasida is a very lofty title, Chasida meaning the extremely pious one. So they housed these women in his house, Ashkulu Darga Mikomayu, and they removed the ladder connecting the entrance level to the attic. That's Ashkulu Darga Mikomayu. And the explanation for that is, like we saw earlier, to keep, to ensure separation and creating a deterrent to any foul play. Bahadi de Kochalfa Chadaminayu, as one of the women walked by the aperture, the opening that led from that attic downwards, down to the entrance level. When one of the women walked by, Nofal Nahura Ipuma, there was a light coming from the Ipuma, from the skylight, and if you were on the entrance level, you could see the image of the person, in this case the woman, walking by. Shakle Rav Amram. Rav Amram was overcome with a male urge, and Rav Amram took ledarga delav yachlin be'asor lemidlei. He took a ladder, made of very heavy material, a ladder that even 10 people wouldn't be able to move. Dalia lichudei, he took it by himself. Solik v'ozil, he was on his way up to seek that woman, to conduct himself in a male-female intimacy. Of course, this was not his wife. This was quite forbidden. Kimoto lepal gadarga, when he got up halfway, ifshach. Rashi says, ifshach hirchiv upisek raklov la'amoy b'mekoymi b'chazok lizgabel yitzro. He spread his feet in a fashion whereby he fastened them to the sides of the ladder, and held himself in a firm position in an effort to overcome his evil inclination. Roma kola, and then he shouted out there, standing on the ladder halfway up, going to the woman, Nura be Amram, there's a fire in Amram's house. So he screamed out, fire, fire. Asu Rabbanon, the Rabbanon thought, the other rabbis that were there thought, that were nearby, they thought there was a fire. Amrulay, they ran in, they found there's no fire. What did they see? They saw Rav Amram halfway up a ladder going to a room full of women. And what did they say? Ksiftinon. Whoa, we've embarrassed you. Amar Lahu, and Rav Amram says, and here he lives up to his title, Mutov Tichsifu Be Amram Be'al Mohadein, better for Amram, on referring to himself, to be embarrassed in this world, Ve'al Tichsifu Minei La'al Mohadasi, and that there should be no embarrassment from him in the world to come. Ashpe de Yinpat Mine. Rav Amram imposed an oath on the evil inclination. You shall depart from me. Nofak Mine ki Amuda Denura. What appeared to be a pillar of fire came forth from him. The imagery of the evil inclination in the form of a pillar of fire. We sometimes refer to the fire of passion. And Omar Le and Rav Amram declared, Chazi, behold, at Nura, your fire, Vano Bisra, and I'm your flesh, Vano Adifna Minoch, and I am greater than you. I overpowered you. What we see in this remarkable account is something that on this simplistic level, as the Shas presents it to us, we see that the male urge to have intimate relations with women is something that's part of the Bria, part of the creation. And it's part of every single, say, healthy, normal individual, including, of course, the greatest of our people. And we quoted earlier the Gemara in Sukkah. I'll quote another Gemara there, where the Gemara says, "Kol ha-gadol mechavira yitzra gadol himenu." The greater the person, the greater the passion, the evil inclination that dwells within. The greatness of our great people, of our true heroes, is their ability to overcome the drives of nature. The Torah was given to man as a means of instructing and inspiring him to overcome the challenge of this world that presents itself in the form of drives, of passion, and desires, and lusts. All of those things are realities. They're part of the Olam Hazeh, this world. And the Almighty is expecting of us to recognize the existence of the natural force and to overcome it. The ability to overcome is the ability to live above nature, to live above an animalistic existence, and that is what we mean when we speak about achieving holiness, achieving kedusha, achieving our goal in striving to greater heights, to greater levels of existence, so that this story and a couple of the following stories are amazing, brilliant illustrations of the greatest of our people, their confrontation with this reality, with, we'll call it the bestial side of man, the animalistic side of man, which represents the natural forces that govern existence, and their ability to rise above it. And in some cases, as we'll see, a certain level of heavenly intervention was actually necessary. why were they meritorious in achieving or in receiving this heavenly intervention? So that, of course, is because of their investment in Torah, Torah study, and the performance of mitzvahs. So as a result, when the 11th hour came around and they needed to be rescued from the forces of the Yetzer Hara, of the evil inclination, so there was divine intervention. The Gemara continues. And you'll see we have our diamonds, which we didn't mention before, but they are featured on the side of the Gemara. Maisim im gedoyle chachomenu, bismoididis im yetzer, im hayetzer. This is different stories with our great sages and their confrontation with the evil inclination. Another marking appears, the double underline, hadgosha, the highlighting of the expression having mitzloitzitz be'over avera. They used to scoff at those that that yielded to their evil inclinations. They made light of it. Making light of it is simply viewing people that yield to their temptations and saying, "What's wrong with you? Can't you overcome it?" Making light of it. And as you'll see shortly in the Gemara, that is not advisable. Rabbi Meir, Havimitzloitzis Boivir Avira. Rabbi Meir, one of the greatest of our greats, used to make light the word mitzloitzis from the word leitzonis, expression referring to joking, frivolity, lightheadedness. So he made light of over avera, people that found it difficult to overcome their passions and lusts, and he made light of it, saying the likes of, "What's wrong with you? Can't you just overcome? And isn't can't you just overcome your passions?" Yumachad idmi le satan kiitza bahachki satanar. On one day, the satan, the yetzahara, appeared as a woman on the other side of the river. So Rav Meir was walking along one side of the river. On the other side of the river, there was the Sutton in the form of a woman. Lo havin mavro, there was no ferry to get across the river. Rebbe Meir nokat matzra v'kovar. He grabbed hold of a rope that was drawn across the river, and he grabbed on the rope, which was attached to a plank, and walked across the river in this rather precarious fashion to get to the woman. Ki mota palga matzra, when he got halfway across, shavke, the yetzer hara left Rebbe Meir. The passion departed, the desire fell away. Omar and the yetzer hara announced, the Sotan announced, Ilav de komachrazi berkia, if not for a public announcement in heaven, is Haru Rebbe Meir Tayroso. Be careful of Rebbe Meir and his Torah learning. Shavisei ledomach tarti moy, I would have made your life worth two small coins. You would have been small game for me. In other words, left on your own without this divine intervention, the worst would have happened. And we'll leave that to the imagination of all the listeners. Rabbi Akiva, Ava Misloitzitz Bovri Avera, the same thing involving Rabbi Akiva, making light of those who have difficulty overcoming their passions. Yumachadid Mile Sotan Kitsa Beresh Diklon. One day the Sotan appears as a woman up a palm tree. Nakte Ladikla Vikosolik Vyazil. Rabbi Akiva grabbed the palm tree and started to climb the tree to get to the woman. Kimota Lapalgi de Dikla, when he got halfway up the tree, Shavke, the Yetzara, left him. Omar, and the same announcement, Ilav de Machrazi Berkia, Zaro Berkiva, Viseroso. Be careful of Rabbi Akiva and his Torah. Spare him of your influence. Shavisei Ladomach Tarti Moi. I would have made your blood, your life, like the value of two small coins. Flimo haverogil, by the way, note that we have a long marking. We call this Flimo, that's the name of a Torah scholar, and the story is a long story which continues to the first wide line on Amud Beis, as the marking indicates. Flimo haverogil lemeimar kol yoimar. Flimo had the custom of saying every day, Gira b'yene de Satan, arrows into the eyes of the Satan. In other words, he challenges the Satan that I'm going to shoot arrows into your eyes, that you're not going to overpower me. Yumachad mali yom de Kippur hava. One day it was erev Yom Kippur. Idmi le kanya, and the Satan appeared as a poor man. Also, Korah Bovoi came knocking at Flimo's door. Poor man at the door, Erev Yom Kippur. So, Afiku le Rifta, Flimo brought out some Rifta bread to give to the poor man. Omar le, the Satan in the form of the poor man, says, Yumaki idna, a day like this, a day like today, Kule Almo Gavoy Vanob Avroy, everyone is inside. Erev Yom Kippur is a day in which everyone participates in a meal, a special meal, in preparation of the great holy day. Everyone is inside and I'm outside, Vano Avroy, and you're leaving me outside. So Flimo got the message, he brought him in, the Karivu Le Rifta, and served him bread. A day like this, everyone's sitting around the table and you're leaving me by myself. So, Asyuhu Osvuhu Ataka. So, Flimo invited what appeared to him as this poor man and sat him with everyone else around the table. Hava Yosef. He was sitting, Mole Nafshe Shichano Vekivi Ole. As he was sitting there, now again, remember, this poor man is really the angel of evil inclination. He's the Satan. So, as he was sitting there, this poor man's body became covered with sores and pus accumulations. And he was doing something disgusting. It was scratching the sores and pus was oozing out, and that's obviously disgusting in the eyes of anyone who's present. Omar Le, Flimo says, and we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Tiv Shapir, sit properly. Don't continue disgusting us. Omar Le, so the Sultan says, Havu li kosa, fill me a cup of drink. Yavu le kosa, they brought a cup. Ichmar shodebe kicho, and he started to spit phlegm into this cup. Nacharube, they got angry at him. Shoka umis, he feigned death. He made himself like he passed down and died. Shamu davu kamri, and then it was heard, Flimo koto gavra, Flimo koto gavra, Flimo killed a man, Flimo killed a man. Wow, Flimo got quite scared that he's going to be framed as a murderer. Horak, he got up, v'tosha nafshe b'veis hakisa, and he hid in the Beis HaKisa. Beis HaKisa, the facilities, the bathroom. Ozo Basrei, and the Sultan comes after him. Nofal Kameh, and Flimo fell in front of him. Katchazio Dehava Mitztayer, when the Sultan saw how Flimo was suffering, Goli Le Navshi revealed himself. Amale, my time, Amris Hachi. So the Sultan asks Flimo, why do you say Gira Be'enei the Sultan? Why do you say arrows into the eyes of the Sultan? So what should I say? I was saying arrows of the eyes of Sodom as a means of pushing you away, of overcoming your force. What should I say? What you should say is, Rachmona Nigar Beba Sodom, arouse the Almighty to battle against me. Don't say I'm shooting arrows into the eyes of the Sultan. And one possible explanation is it's wrong for a person to think that on his own, through his own human powers, that he could possibly defeat the passion and lust created by the Sultan. Impossible. Without the aid of the Almighty, without the divine intervention that we alluded to before, a person has no chance. A person should not think he can go it on his own. So don't say, I'm shooting arrows into the eyes of the Sultan, you'll have no chance. The Sultan himself, and this is truly amazing, the Sultan himself gives Flemo and gives us the Eitzah, how to war against his incredible force. Ask the Almighty, Nigar Beba Sutton, enraged, get angry, push away the Sutton from me. And, as we said before, I think that we saw similar ideas in the Rabbi Meir story, the Rabbi Akiva story, how the divine intervention from heaven had to come into play, without which Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Akiva would have gone all the way in the incidents we saw on Omer Aleph. Here we have another incident, and you can see we have a long marking. Rabbi Chiya Barashi have a rogil called Idon Davinofilape. Rabbi Chiya Barashi had the practice on a regular basis of praying. Nofilape is an expression. Nefilas Apayim is a prayer that we have to this very day, following the Shemona Esrei, and in this case, it's a form of deep beseeching. And Rav Chiya Barashi fell on his face, Hava Omar, and he would pray, Harachamon Yatzilenu Miyetzahara. He adopted what we saw in the story involving Flemo. Historically, Flemo was from the Tanaic period. He was a contemporary of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. I think you can see a Gemara in Maseches Menachos where Flemo approached Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi regarding a question that was raised there. And Rav Chiya Barashi was from a later period. And Rav Chiya Barashi adopted the Eitzah that the Sultan had given Flemo, praying, let the Almighty save me from the Eitzah Hara. Yom Echad, Shamasinu Devisu. One day, his wife, that's Rav Chiya Barashi's wife, was heard. That is, Rav Chiya Barashi's wife heard him with this prayer, may the Almighty save me from lust and from my passion. Amra, she said, why in the world is he praying thusly? Michti, al kama shoni de porish le minois. For so many years have gone by and he's distanced himself from me. In terms of husband-wife intimacy, we're talking about a couple that was elderly. He's an old man. My time of komar hachi. Why does he say this? What's he praying to be spared from his passions? I don't see his passions. I don't see him yielding to lust. Why does he have to pray for protection from that? Yumachara, Havakogoris begins say, one day, Rav Chiya Barashi was engaged in Torah study in his garden. Koshta Nafsha, Chofa Vitanya Kameh, his wife, she adorned herself, she put on cosmetics, and she disguised herself through cosmetics, totally transforming her appearance, and she walked chofa v'tanya. Tanya means a second time. She walked back and forth in front of him. Omar lo amanat, and Rav Chiya says to her, who are you? Omra ano harusa, Tahadri Miyoma. She announced herself in a disguised fashion. She says, "My name is Harusa," which is the name of a well-known harlot in that town. And the Hadri Miyoma, I've come back from my day's activities, and lo and behold, Tava, here this elderly Reb Chiya sought her out. Amra le, she said to him, "Aisi ni hale lahach rumino deresh tzu tzisa." I want you, she says to him, to bring me this rimon. It's a type of fruit, often translated as a pomegranate, from the deresh tzu tzisa, from a small branch at the top of the tree. This elderly man being presented with this request from this woman, which we mentioned, it's actually his own wife, but in total disguise. And this almost preposterous request, "Climb to the top of the tree and bring me a rimon." And what happened? Shavar ozalaisya ni'ala. He jumped up, climbed the tree, and brought it to her. The fountain in life is found in passion. The fountain of youth, that is found in passion. Kioso Labese, when he came home, Haveka Shagra Divisu Tanura, his wife was firing up their oven, Solik Vikoyosef Begave, and he, Rav Chiya Barashi, was so distraught with what happened in this incident. I think from the even though the Gemara didn't spell it out, it would appear that he had he yielded to his passion and experienced intimacy with the disguised woman, and he came home and was overcome with a feeling of revulsion concerning himself, and he ran and ran and sat inside the oven to kill himself. Omrole, my high, his wife says to her husband, "What in the world are you doing? What is this?" Omrole, hochi vochi have a maisa, and he goes on to tell his wife what happened. Amrole, anohavoi. She says, "It was me. Nothing was wrong. Nothing happened. Lo ashkach bo adiavo lo leisimoni. He didn't pay attention to her. He didn't listen to her. Didn't believe her until she gave him an actual sign. She must have told him that." Didn't you go climb the tree for the rimon? Now, how in the world would his wife know about it if it wasn't her? So that's my suggestion, and that convinced him. Amar lo, but he still wasn't quieted. He says to his wife, "Ano mioli suri chavni," but I had intentions of enjoying the prohibited, the forbidden. Kol yomav shel oisa tzadik ave misane. From that time on, that pious man, Reb Chiya Barashi, engaged in fasting, ad shemes boisa misa, until he died from that. The Gemara goes on to present a basis for this type of situation where in reality no sin took place, but as a result of sinful intentions, there nevertheless is a need for atonement. Desanya, the Pasuk deals with a woman who vowed, and the husband, in accordance with the Torah vested powers that he has, annulled his wife's vow. But she wasn't aware of his having annulled the vow. The pasuk says, Isha haferom, Vashem yislach lo. The husband, Isha means Ish Shelah, her husband, haferom, annulled her vows, and the Almighty should have mercy on her. What is the pasuk talking about? On a simple level, if the husband annulled the vows, there are no more vows. Why is there any need for forgiveness? So the Gemara explains, the Brisa explains, Beisha shenodja benozir, the pasuk is alluding to a woman that vowed to practice nazirus, abstention from wine and other restrictions. Veshoma baila vehefrila, the husband heard her vowing thusly, and he annulled the vow. Vehilo yada shefrila baila, and she was unaware that the husband annulled it. Vahoisa shosiyan metamala mesim, and she continued drinking wine and defiling herself to the dead. Major violations of nazirus. So when we look at the pasuk is saying yes, the husband annulled the vow. In reality, she didn't violate the nazirus by drinking the wine and defiling to the dead after the husband had annulled the nazirus vow. Nevertheless, the woman had sinful intention. No sin was actually violated, but there was sinful intention. And the Torah tells us that she needs forgiveness from God. Rabbi Kiva ki hava moti lahai psuka hava bochi. Now we've highlighted this expression because you'll see it's recurring in this source. Rabbi Kiva, when he got moti, arrived at this posuk, when he would reach this posuk in his study of the Torah, he would cry, Omar, and he would say as follows, Uma mi shenisgavein lechol bosur chazir volo biyodu bosur tleh. Mind you, someone that had intention for a sinful act, to eat bacon, eat the flesh of a swine, and in practice, he ended up eating kosher variety meat, bosur tleh, sheep's meat, which is kosher, Omra Torah, and nevertheless, the Torah says, Tzricha Kaporos Slicha. This is a parallel case to the situation of the woman who intended to be in violation of her Nazirus. In reality, no sin was violated. And yet, the Torah says the person needs atonement and forgiveness. Someone who had intention to eat the flesh of a swine and in fact ate the bacon, the pork, or the ham. Alachas kama v'kama, all the more so does he need forgiveness and atonement. Chayotze b'davrata omer, and in a similar vein it says, v'lo yoda the Hashem, the Nosa Avono. Person was unaware, he sinned, and while unaware, and he bears his sin. Kishoya Rabbi Kiva Magil Posuk Zelya Boiche. When Rabbi Kiva would reach this posuk, he would cry, Uma mi, Shineskavi Lechol Shumon, the Olo Biodo Chelev. A person who had proper intentions. He thought he was going to eat shuman kosher meat, and the olabiyado chelev, and it ended up eating chelev, forbidden fats from animals. Omra Torah v'loyada v'yoshe v'nosavono. The Torah says he didn't know and he sinned and he bears his sin. Mishin is kavin lechol chelev v'olabiyado chelev. Someone who intended to eat the forbidden chelev and actually ate it. Alachas kama v'kama. All the more so does he need atonement and forgiveness? Isi ben Yehuda Oimer, v'lo yodav yoshem v'nosa avoinoi, al dover ze yedavu kol hadvuyim. Regarding this, all cries should be cried. Tosfos in Maseches Nozir Dav Chof Gimel Omad Aleph says, al dover ze yedavu, that the word yedavu as Roshei HaTevois actually is the initials of the words Yoda V'Oshem V'Nosa. You have the Yud of Yoda and Dalid. That's the Yud Dalid of the word Yoda and Vav V'Oshem V'Nosa. And the Vav of that. So you have Yud Dalid Vav Vav, the Rosh Tevis of the word Yidavu. And we continue in our Gemara with a quote from the Mishnah, Misyached Odom Im Imo. A person is allowed to be in private with his mother. We mentioned earlier that the general rule is that men are prohibited to being alone with women other than one's own wife, with a couple of exceptions, and one of the blatant exceptions is the permission granted to a man to be alone with his mother. Amar of Yehuda. Actually, before going on in the Gemara, we should glance at the topic heading. Number one, Deos Shoinos Shel Amoroyim Binyan Yichud Im Arayos Shoinos. Different opinions of Amoroyim regarding being in private with different forbidden relatives. Number two, Chumrosam Shel Amoroyim, self-imposed stringencies of different Amoroyim, different Talmudic personalities, Nimnoyim Yichud Im Behemos, where they resisted or opposed or abstained from being alone with animals. The Gemara. So, Omar of Yehuda, Omar Rav Asi, Misyached Odom Im Achoisoi, a person is allowed to be alone with one's sister. Now, Rashi says, Misyached Im Achoisoi Lifrokim, at times, Avol Eino Dor Tomid Biyichud Etzlo Babayis, but to live on an ongoing, constant, permanent basis with one sister, alone with one sister in the same house, that would not be allowed. So Ravasi says, on a temporary basis, a man can be alone with his sister, can be in private with his sister, Vidor Im Imo Vimbito, but as far as a man's mother or a person's daughter, there they can be on a permanent basis, alone, living in the same house. Rashi says, "Vidor im imo o im bito telo tokif yitzrei olayhu." One's lust and passion regarding one's mother or daughter is not very strong. And why is that so? The ahanu be anshigesa gdeila. The anshigesa goes is featured in at least in two places in the Shas, in Maseches Sanhedrin and Maseches Yuma, the rabbis of the Great Assembly, the Anshei Knesset Gedola, which historically was a time period that preceded the Tanaic time. The Anshei Knesset Gedola existed during the Second Temple period, and they prayed heavenwards for the evil inclination of idolatry to be removed from within man, and they were successful in that, and hence nowadays you don't find people being overcome with lust and passion to engage in idolatry. However, the passion and lust for incestuous, for forbidden intimacies, forbidden relations, that they couldn't pray to have removed entirely, as is featured in the Gemara. We're not going to get into details. However, their efforts had partial benefit, as Rashi says, "De lo magri bekroivsa mechi kechlinu v'nikrinu liene." Without getting into translation, Rashi is paraphrasing or presenting in a concise form the story there, and their efforts bore fruit in so far as a person is not aroused by these very close relatives, one's mother and one's daughter. So, as a result of their success in in diluting, in neutralizing the passion one would otherwise have had for even these close relatives, that no longer exists. So we can allow a person to be indwelling with his mother or daughter on an ongoing basis. So that is, so far, Rav Yehuda tells us that is what Rav Asi ruled, that a person can be on a temporary basis alone with one's sister, and on an ongoing basis alone with one's mother or one's daughter. Ki amra kamei de Shmuel, when I said this over to Shmuel, Omar, Shmuel's reaction was, Osir lisyached im kol arayas shebetura ve'afilu im behema. A person is prohibited in being alone with all forbidden relatives, and even alone with an animal. Tanan, misyached odem im imo v'im bito v'yoshim moem b'kiruv basar. Here we have a Tanaic source that says a man is allowed to be alone, as we saw in our Mishnah, the Tanaic source, alone with his mother or his daughter, and actually sleep with them without clothing. Tufta de Shmuel. This would seem to clearly refute Shmuel. Amar loch Shmuel. Shmuel responds, and notice we have a long answer marking. The Brisa says, regarding one's sister, one's mother-in-law, all other arayas of the Torah, one is not allowed to be alone with them, other than in the presence of witnesses. Be'edim in shel be'edim lo. With witnesses, yes. Without witnesses, no. And in this brisa, you see, all arayas are lumped together. Elo tanoihi. Rather, you have to conclude that the issue is a Tanaic controversy. Tisanyo, Amar Rabbi Meir, Hizarubi, Mipnei Biti. Rabbi Meir announces, be careful, don't leave me alone with my daughter. Amar Rabbi Tarfon, Hizarubi, Mipnei Kalosi. Be careful, don't leave me alone with my daughter-in-law. And behold, a student jeered, mocked at Rabbi Tarfon. What are you worried about? You're going to be in violation of morality with your daughter-in-law. So he mocked Rabbi Tarfon. Omar Rabbi Avo, Mishum Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Lo hoyu yomim muotim, not much time went by until that very Talmud who mocked in Rabbi Tarfon, that he failed and had intimacy with his own mother-in-law. Above we mentioned even Afil in Behema, and we have a little arrow to the right-hand side of the Gemara. You can align it with the arrow above. And Shmuel indicated the prohibition of being alone with an animal. Abaye mechalele mikula dabro. Abaye, when he went into a field, he would disperse any animals. He would prevent any animals from being there at the same time. Rashi has a second pshat in addition to what we just said. He would make sure that a shepherd and his animals would not be in one field. The Gemara continues. Rav Sheshes Maver Le Matzra. There's another girsa on the side of the Gemara, Maver Le Nara. It seems that Rav Sheshes would cross the river, not to be alone with an animal in the same location. Rav Chanan Minahardo Iklo L'Rav Kahana L'Ful Nara. Rav Chanan from Nahardo, name of a community, went to Rav Kahana at a place called Pum Nara. Chazia de Yosef Kogoris. He saw him sitting and engaged in study. V'kaima behema kamei, and there was an animal, there was a cow in front of him. Omar le lo sabra lo mor afilu im behema. Do you not hold from the restriction of not being alone, even with an animal? Omar le lavadatoy. You know, I wasn't aware. I was so engrossed in my learning, I wasn't aware that there was a behema here, an animal, a cow here. Had I known, I wouldn't have stayed in the same location. And mind you, here you're dealing with an outdoor situation, but it was a quiet, secluded location, and that gives rise to the problem. Let me just mention, by way of, we'll call it, say, editorial note, that when we, in our Gemara markings, Shiurim study, a Daf Gemara, we have no intention of conveying actual halachic practice. What one is to do in actual halachic practice demands the study of Sforum, of books that deal with halacha lemaisa and the consultation with proper halachic authorities on this and any other matter. But we are presenting certainly the practice of many within the Talmud, within the Gemara. Omar Rava, Misyached Adam im Shtei Yevamas, Vim Shtei Tzoros, Im Isha V'chamosa, Im Isha Ubas Baila, Im Isha V'tinoikis, Shidaz Tam Bia, V'ein Moiseres Atzmo Labia. Rava says a man can be alone with two Yevamas. Yevamas are two women that are married to two brothers. These are women that have certain, say, feelings of enmity toward one another. That's the case of why you'll ask in the case of two Yevamos. In the event that one of the two brothers dies, leaving no children, so the widow will end up marrying the surviving brother, and you'll have then these two women married to the same man, which we call a situation of co-wives. And two women married to one man, certainly in the time that polygamy was accepted, was also a recipe for a great deal of internal strife, home strife, domestic strife. Two women competing with one another for the same man. As a result of that, each one of these women will be very careful not to do something of an immoral nature, knowing that the other woman is going to be very quick to report it and expose it. So you have these examples of women that are in a constant state of tension with one another. A woman with her mother-in-law, a woman with her husband's daughter from a previous marriage. And the fifth example is a man with a woman and a little girl that Shadas Tambia means she's aware of what intimacy is. However, she herself, this little girl, wouldn't yield to it. Ein moser satzma labia. She's not of age to have a desire for it. So therefore, even though you have a man alone with two women, which in general we said is a problem because of the concept of daiton kalos that we've seen before, not so in the case of any of these two women. The Rashi says v'eino moseres atzmo labia mitoch kotna, because of her youth, her young age, adayin lo lofshi yetzer, she hasn't been overcome with the desire for this, for intimacy. Hilkoch ein kan mishum das kala. Therefore, the concern of das kala, willingness of a woman or the desire of a woman to yield to these things, isn't present here. Shalote noichal ispatos. She isn't going to be so quick to yield her herself to an act of intimacy. So, therefore, in each one of these cases, you don't have the, you have, we'll say, a built-in deterrent for any intimacy taking place, which is otherwise lacking when you're dealing with two women in general with a man. Higdilu ze yoshen b'ksuso v'chule. We mentioned before that father and daughter, mother and son, can sleep in the same bed, both unclothed, but only up till a certain point. When they get older, higdilu, then they must be clothed. V'kama, what age? Omar Rav Ado bar Rav Azo, Omar Rav Asi. Here we have Roman numerals, and they're featured on the side under the Nosei Mivne heading. The 1 and 2 are Beis, Lishonos, 2 versions, L'giloim Shaltinek V'tinekis L'shina B'ksus. At which point does the halacha demand of a little girl, a little boy, to start sleeping with their clothing on while together with the parent of the opposite gender? So, version 1 says, Tinoikes bas teisha shanim v'yom echad, tinok ben shteim esrei shana v'yom echad. A little girl, when she reaches the age of 9 years and a day, and a boy, when he reaches the age of 12 years and a day. When we speak, when we mention and a day, it means a full 9 years, or a full 12 years of age. The Bach introduces alternative girsos. For those who are interested, by all means, look into the Bach, but we're going to continue with the girsa of our Gemara. Ika Diamri, another version, Tinoikis Bas Shteim Esrei Shana V'yom Echad. When it comes to the girl, up till 12 years, this is a more lenient approach, that the need for being clothed starts only at 12 years and a day, meaning the girl reaches legal adulthood, we call a bas mitzvah, tinok ben shloshesrei v'yom echad, and the boy, once he reaches bar mitzvah, 13 years of age. V'zeh v'zeh, both girl and boy, kidei shiu shodayim nochonu u'sorech tzimeach. This is a quote from a pasuk describing physiological maturation, shodayim nochonu, the formation of breasts and the appearance of hairs. Rashi, a couple lines down from here, says zeh v'zeh bein l'shnekamei shabaser, whether you go according to the first version, Roman numeral number 1 or number 2, the tinoikis, that's whether it's the lishna kama or the lishna basra, the tinoikis, regarding the girl, bo'inon shodayim nochonu besimone naros besimon shebedodim dahainu boichol k'nisam sechaz nida boichol yemei urim. In order for the necessity of clothing, that would be required if this level of maturation of breast development appears. V'sorach tzimeach, and that as well. Elo delishna kamo, the difference between the two versions is e asya cyrus miteisha shanim malo havisimin gomor. If the pubic hairs develop from 9 years of age and above, it's considered a full-fledged sign of adulthood. Lishna basra havishuma. According to the second version, hairs appearing before the ages mentioned is considered like wart hairs. Ad bas shteim esrei shonim v'yom echad, until she reaches 12 years and a day. The Gemara continues. Omar Rachman bar Papa, Omar Rachista lo shanu elo she'ena boi shalamud lefon of orum. The leniency of the Mishnah of being able to sleep with the parent of the opposite gender unclothed is only if the little girl with her father, provided she is not embarrassed to stand in front of him orum, unclothed. Aval boi shalamud lefon of orum osur, if she is even younger than the ages mentioned, but she is embarrassed to stand in front of him unclothed, then it's forbidden for them to sleep in the same bed unclothed. My taima, why is that the case? Because Yetzer al b'shov, she's embarrassed to stand in front of him unclothed. That's a sign that she has reached the point in which the evil inclination has entered her, is a part of her, and that is reason enough to prohibit the continued sleeping b'kiruv basar, as mentioned in the Mishnah. Rav Chonon bar Abba iklo lebei, we should mention, by the way, we have here a long incident, which is illustrated by the long marking, the maisa being an incident. Rav Chonon bar Abba iklo lebei Rav Chisda chasnei. Rav Chonon visited Rav Chisda, his son-in-law. Rav Chisda's father-in-law was Rav Chonon. Shakle lebas barte ois vuha bekanfe. The grandfather, Rav Chonon, took his granddaughter, that means Rav Chisda's wife's daughter. It means Rav Chisda married Rav Chonon's daughter. So Rav Chonon was taking Rav Chisda's daughter, the daughter of his daughter, in his lap. The Tosfos Ri HaZaken has a rather interesting explanation of Oisvua Bekanfe. At the bottom of the page, he says, Oisvua Bekanfe, Shiyoshanimo Bekiruv Boser, Shinicho Tachas Bigde Mitosai. Seems that the grandfather was sleeping in the same bed with the granddaughter, Bekiruv Boser, meaning they were unclothed. Omar Lei, Rav Chisda says, Lo Sovar Lo Mar De Mikdisha. He says in a tone of wonderment and surprise, don't you know that she is married, and you're dealing here now with not just a single granddaughter? She happens to be a married woman. Yes, you heard it right. You're dealing with a little girl, but a father, in this case Rav Chisda, has a Torah right to accept money from a man in exchange for marrying the girl. So a father can give his daughter over in marriage, and that's what I've done. So you shouldn't be with her like that. Omar Le, Rav Chonon, the father-in-law, or the grandfather of the girl, says, you mean to tell me you married her off? Avris Loch Adarav. You have violated Rav's teaching. Yom Rav Yudam Rav, Itemo Rav Elozer. Rav says, and some versions have Rav Elozer, true, as we mentioned before, the Torah acknowledges the father's right to give his daughter over in marriage, but it's not the right thing to do. There's a difference between having a right to do it and being the right thing to do. I know that sounds a little confusing, the right to do it and being the right thing to do, but that's the case here. Osur li odom shiyakadesh esbito kashi katano ad shetagdil v'toymar b'ploni ani roitza. A person should not marry off his daughter while she is a minor. He should wait until she reaches an age that she herself can say, I want him, the husband, I want that man. So Rav Chonon was very upset at his son-in-law, Rav Chisda, for having married off his daughter, or Rav Chonon's granddaughter. Ah, Rav Chisda says, Mor nami over le'ad Shmuel. You violated Shmuel's teaching. Domar Shmuel ein mishtam shem be'isha. One is not to use a woman. And here you are sitting with her on your lap. Omar lei. So Rav Chonon says back, Anoki idach d'Shmuel svirli. So if you're trying to attack or criticize my conduct, well, I'll have you know that I practice like another statement of Shmuel, D'Yomar Shmuel. And we continue at the top of Daf Pei Beis, Hakol L'Shem Shomayim. Rashi at the top says, Hakol L'Shem Shomayim, V'ein Daiti Achre L'Chibas Ishus. I have no intentions of intimacy. I'm holding her out of the affection that relatives have for one another, to make her mother, i.e. my daughter, feel good, when I show affection toward her daughter. Tosfos at the top says, Hakol l'shem shamayim, v'yalzu anu soimchim hashto shanu mishtamshim benoshim. This is what we rely upon nowadays, that we allow women to serve us. That is, we are l'shem shamayim. We're not allowing the service of women because we have immoral, lustful intentions, but rather we have a much purer mindset when allowing the women to serve us. This might sound familiar. There was a note on the side, the bottom of Daf Pei Aleph Amud Beis, that earlier in this parak on Daf Ayin, we saw in a visit between where Rav Yehuda went to visit Rav Nachman. Rav Yehuda's was upset at Rav Nachman's allowing his daughter to serve drinks. But if one finds themselves in a situation where a girl is serving one a drink, you may have this Tosfos to rely upon. Once again, provided that it's l'shem shamayim, that there are no impure thoughts in one's mind. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.